A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Farm Girl here. My real name is Dana. Rhymes with banana. It's really hard to get a word in edgewise here. Wow. I am the host of the Accidental Farm Podcast. It's a daily, 5 minutes an episode. And guess what? We're at 100 episodes. I know you're already wondering, Accidental Farm? What's that? Well, it's like having an unplanned pregnancy, except with farm animals. Here are 3 reasons you won't want to miss the Accidental Farm Podcast. 1, in just 5 minutes a day, it packs in a funny, sad, or weird farm story. 2, every story has a little nugget of wisdom that you can use in your own life. And 3, it's a great way to take a little break to escape your daily life and get a little bit closer to nature. The Accidental Farm Podcast, anywhere you find your pods, episode 1, Find Your Inner Predator, is waiting for you.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by Managers.
Dumb, a podcast about the archers and the goings-on of Ambridge. It's P&Q here, Philippa Hall, complete with dreads, nose ring and natural fibres.
And Quentin Rayner with the immaculate truncheon.
While scrabbling in the dirt for pin money, there's you lot, our lovely dum-de-dummers. This week's wonderful dum-de-dum tune is again from Melissa in Italy, and we're lucky enough to hear thoughts from formerly cycling Christine, Catherine with a Y, Richard from Portugal, Glyn, Sarah, Monty, Kate and Catherine, Richard, Biffo Prop, Charles from Washington, Tracy from California, Bill from the Ukraine, Witherspoon and Adam, plus Tweet of the Week, Facebook Roundup, welcoming new members of our Facebook group, predictions for next week, and the Dumdy Book Dumb item, this time with author Ellie Griffiths. Marvellous.
Yes, that's pretty much taken up the time of the podcast, isn't it? Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Yeah, that's it, the end.
Grief. People are listening, Philippa.
It is fabulous. Fantastic. Love it. So, Quentin.
Wow.
Without further ado, let's look back at what happened this week.
I've got some gossip for you, Philippa. Adam and Ian's tongues wag almost as much as Susan's.
After having their first ever proper conversation, during which Susan revealed she'd won Neil by winning a pig, she nabbed Adam in the polytunnel and took him up on his offer to come round.
Ian felt his pain, but as the wine flowed, so did the tittle-tattle. Susan was aghast to hear about Jean Harvey and Derek Fletcher's affair back in the 80s. Then Ian popped the question, who's everyone's secret crush?
The chef kicked it off by confessing to Karate Lee.
Adam followed by admitting that Alistair has a certain something in his vet scrubs. But Susan stole the show with...
Oh, David Archer! He was so masterful as Herod, it made me go a bit funny inside.
Ian declared Susan was a hoot, and it had given him a great Valentine's idea for the bull.
At said hostelry, Justin made a pig's ear of bending Brian's ear about the future of Barrow Farm. Then he misheard him and thought Adam had become a swinger instead of a general farmhand.
Brian escaped for a quick chat with Chris and told him he was a sterling chap and was reassured to hear his son-in-law tell him they could sort the money stuff out in a civil way.
David hobbled in and bore Justin rigid with news that the calf was safe from the dislocated hiatus.
Huh, lemon drizzle all round.
Brian muttered under his breath.
Alice flew the nest to return to the nest, but felt lonely straight away. Instead of reaching for the bottle, though, she grabbed the phone to invite her parents round for supper.
The following day, she was stressed out with an unsettled Martha. Amy diagnosed chickenpox, and when Chris rashly stumbled in, she sussed he had shingles.
Wednesday was worse. Up since 5 a.m, Alice pleaded with Granny Jenny to take Martha away and look after her.
No, darling, it's your chance to be a great mum,
JD retorted, and she was proved right to Alice's delight.
Kate reckoned Phoebe was getting all dressed up for a date with the charming and good-looking Salil, but no, she blubbed to Father Roy.
It turned out to be a job interview, and she was heading to the Highlands. Yes, that's north of Glasgow, in case you didn't know, to help start up a microalgae business.
Susan and Ian were told...
You're hired!
...by Kenton and Jolene, as their social speed dating idea to make new friends saved the bull's bacon. It also appears the landlord no longer seems hamstrung by his hamstring either, in case you were wondering.
So, shall we get this podcast underway with an icebreaker? Let's start with... Who's annoyed you the most this week in The Archers? Which is pretty much our podcast, isn't it? There's a lot in this week, I tell you. My word, it's packed.
Did you have your notepad and pen out when you were listening, Quentin?
I tap away on my laptop as I'm listening, yes, and then tidy it up afterwards. Oh, I'm flying across the keyboard. It's a Kerry week. You can tell when it's a Kerry week, can't you?
You certainly can. And apart from Kerry week, how's your week been?
Well, I've been press-ganging people to listen to this podcast. I constantly seem to be checking whether they are, A, an Archers listener, and, B, if they follow this podcast. There I was, sat in the doctor's reception, and the receptionist sort of came up to me. She looked very sternly, and I thought, what have I done wrong? She said, have you finished then off the telly? And I went, oh, yeah. So she recognised me from... I said, yes, I have. I said, but I do a podcast now. She said, oh, right, what's that about? I said, oh, about the Archers. And she said, oh, my husband's an Archers listener. I said, right, in that case, can you get him to listen to our podcast? And showed her our logo and everything. So there you are. There's one more listener, hopefully. Always working hard behind the scenes, you and me. Only for the second time in my life, I wrote to my local MP, a certain Robert Jenrick, and told him to write his letter to the 1922 committee. Thank you very much. I had a big lotto win yesterday.
Oh,
huge. Yeah, well, you know, 109 million, they said, and they got to give it away and all that. I thought, yeah, I'm in on that. Yeah, biggest win ever. £67. I was chuffed with that.
Well, that's a lot of money. I mean, that would almost pay for a bottle of serum, wouldn't it, Quentin?
It's 2/3 of a bottle of serum.
Yes, a slightly used bottle of serum.
I'm bored putting it on every morning, but I am
getting your money's pursuing. Worth.
Yes, I am.
And
I
is
am.
It producing amazing results? I mean, do you look like a 20-year-old?
I tell you, the promised 14%. Back in my pigments is definitely returning. Definitely. I mean, as you do for £92. And finally, I know you've got the note saying be brief is still there, folks. But I've took up Wordle this week. I swore I wouldn't. And I've taken it up and it's driving me nuts. But I'm quite enjoying it. But I did like this tweet from Kerry Davis, who wrote this week's scripts. He tweeted, friends, I love you and care about you deeply. About your latest Wordle score... Not so much. I know what you mean.
Do you know,
timeline's
Quentin,
full of these grids.
I've got written here, talk about Wordle.
You have.
I have, because we need to hold an intervention. Wordle is very bad for my blood pressure. I suddenly can't think of a word. You know, it's like saying a three-letter word that begins with T and ends in E. And I'm like, oh, there's no such word that exists. It's Wordle. We are obsessing over this five-letter thing. Yeah. which has a name that has six letters in it. Why? We need to stop.
It's named after, it's a play on the words of the guy who invented it.
I know, but if it's a five-letter thing, it shouldn't be six letters. It doesn't work. And people need to
mention that. I hadn't noticed that. Thank you very much. It's infuriating enough as it is, and it's made it worse.
The other fun thing we had this week was online parents' evening. So I don't think you've ever had this, Quentin, but online parents' evening is basically you get a period of time, say 5 minutes per teacher, and you get this countdown till they come on the screen. And then when the 5 minutes is done, they're cut off. That's it. And it felt like it was every time, but I think there were about 15 different teachers and subjects we had to sit through. The countdown before the teacher would come on, so you're like 5, 4, 3 seconds, my child would lean over to me and say very urgently, "By the way, I did really badly in the last test." And then the teacher would come on and I was trying to rearrange my face in this, "Oh, how nice to see you, teacher," to just trying to process the awful news that my child had just delivered. So it was so much fun.
It's almost an adaptation of the speed dating in The Bull, isn't it?
What
do you call it? Speed slating, I suppose.
Anyway, that's enough about us. Let's get on to the important bit, which is you, our lovely caller-innerers.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
And first of all, we have formerly Cycling Christine, who thinks she's spotted the next baddie in Ambridge.
Hello, Philippa, Quentin and all fellow Dumpty Dummers. This is formerly Cycling Christine here. I just wanted to go back to something that was raised 2 or 3 weeks ago about Rory and about who's the baddie in the Archers. And for a number of years, I have thought they need to have a baddie to replace Brian. And they brought Justin in, but obviously he's similar age to Brian, so can't possibly replace him as Brian gets too old. And then when they introduced Rob, I thought that maybe he was going to be the replacement. But as we all know, that storyline turned out to take a very different arc. So I think it's highly probable that Rory's going to be the one. He has the same charm that Brian has. He's very nice to those that he wants to be nice to, but he has a very ruthless streak, as we've seen on more than one occasion, and especially with dealing with Alice recently. So I'm very much looking forward to his long career in the Archers as the baddie with charm. The shenanigans over what's going to happen on Valentine's Day in the pub is just driven me mad. Not because of the storylines or anything, but the idea that any decent business in a pub would not have sorted out what was happening on Valentine's Day a week or so beforehand, when they need to get advertising done, sell tickets, get people who want to come there. It's just ludicrous to be doing it at this late stage. And that sort of thing just drives me mad. So unrealistic. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Christine. Driven mad by the Archers. That's a first, isn't it? Brian the baddie. Sorry. Christine, wash your mouth out. He's roguish. He's charming. He's flawed. He's intriguing. He's bullish. He's naughty. He's sensitive. Baddie? I love the man.
I love Brian. I do, because he's just, normally he's so awful, but he's getting milder.
Not.
He is. What about, was it
he's
Martin?
He's apologising like crazy.
Who was the chap that got the journalist in to interview Blake?
Martin Gibson.
Yeah.
Dreadful,
so yeah. He could be the baddie. Oh. Rory, I mean, I just hope I hope for the best for Rory. I don't want him to be the baddie, but I accept, like Christine says, we need a baddie in there. I mean, Brian, it turns out, is an expert on the pig cycle. And Brian is the only farmer on the BL board. I mean, so he's the only one who's got any knowledge of how to clean out a silage pit.
That's how you set up an agricultural company, aren't you?
Yes. Let's have 20 people on the board and only one of you.
Nothing about farming.
Yes.
So she thinks she's characterised Rory as a baddie with charm, which is quite a neat way of describing potentially Rory. He showed his nasty streak, definitely. Whether he's got all his father's ruthlessness, we shall see. He's certainly got the intelligence. So,
Yes.
It's interesting, isn't it? And it's interesting how things seem to be happening very quickly at the moment in Ambridge. One minute, Alice is saying she can't look after Martha. And then lo and behold, within a few hours, she's the miracle mother. Then you've got Josh and Pip. They can't cope on their own with David and Ruth injured. And then, oh, look at this. They're coping brilliantly. It's all a bit fast for my life.
Alice was so annoying this week, wasn't she? I mean, that poor kid. I mean, I did tweet about it. I mean, Martha's got such a pair of jittery parents. She is going to grow up as a nervous wreck, isn't she? I mean, God, they both panic at the slightest thing.
Excuse me, what are you saying about my Christopher? Why is he panicking?
Well, he was all, go around and check. And
yes, because he's seen it firsthand how Alice has been. He knows her better than anybody, really. So he was assuming the worst, protecting his child. No, he was entirely
he was all
right.
Simpering, you know, when Amy was the only sensible one there.
Oh, my goodness.
She was. I think she had. No, she handled those two gibbering, jittering, nervous wrecks really well, I thought. You know, you just calm down. She's got chicken pox. You've got shingles. You can't look after Martha. Go home and you've got to look after your child. I thought she was excellent this week, Amy. Boring, but excellent.
Yeah, boring. That's how she calms people down. Her voice is so boring, she stuns them.
That's what you need. You've got two people really hyper. I thought her tone was just what you needed.
Oh, my goodness. You're so... Right, well, let's go to the next call because we're going to have to come back to this, Quentin, because you and I are going to have very different
also,
views.
Also, Christine's fed up with the shenanigans and the bull far too late. She's right. We got a call about this, actually. There's a fundamental flaw in it as well. Glenn is going to expose that later on in our podcast.
So let's go on to Catherine with a Y, who is asking a lot of whys.
Hello there. It's Catherine with a Y from the Kent coast here. Not the other Catherine, the lovely Catherine who was on last week with the cat, although I have got a cat, so that is quite confusing. So our boiler's been broken this week for the second week, and it got me thinking about rising energy prices, rising cost of living, and are they going to cover that in the Archers? Who would it be? Who would they use? Maybe someone who doesn't have a lot of family money behind them, maybe someone supporting a family, Tracy, maybe. Or Chris, I sometimes feel like I'm getting a bit of a lecture or at least some really obvious role modelling from the Archers characters. This week, my takeaway was Jennifer and Brian saying, you never stop worrying about your children. As a mum of two young children, that was a joyful thought. Thanks for that. I'm loving the idea of inclusive Valentine's Day. It's not all about couples at the ball. Great, love it. I would have loved something like that in my single days. In fact, I did used to do something like that at my house with some of my friends when I was single. I did feel a bit sorry, though, for either Jean or Derek when they were saying there's no accounting for taste. I'm not sure which one is meant to have the bad taste and which one is really clearly meant to be the embarrassment. Also, why has it taken so long for Susan to have an actual conversation with Adam or Ian? Do you think that's strange in a village of that size? Why is everyone assuming Phoebe has a new love interest? I would have thought at least Kate or Alice would be a bit more feminist about it. Even if Jennifer obviously wouldn't be. It seems obvious to me that Phoebe has got a really exciting new job offer or project or something like that. I really hope that she proudly tells Kate that she's off to use that degree that she worked so hard for and that Kate supports her. But so far, the writing isn't really playing out like that, is it? Have a great week. I hope it's another sunny one for you. Take care.
Ah, oh, Catherine with a wife in the Kent coast. A marvellous call. Very funny. Very fun. That made me giggle when I was listening to it. Thank you for that.
Yes. First time caller as well.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Wonderful.
More, please, Catherine, with a Y.
You mentioned about will they cover rising energy prices. I fear that is too much of the real world and we won't get anything like that. You know, they seem to exclude a lot of the reality that we have to deal with.
Like COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. COVID? What's COVID? Is that is that a new type of mayonnaise you can get?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. You are concerned about this phrase you've been told that you never stop worrying about your kids. Yeah, everyone told me that. And I thought, no, you can't worry any more than you do when they're a week old. Oh, you do. Yes. That makes me, I sound really old now, don't I?
You know, I've got three children now in their 20s.
And I can assure you, Catherine, with a Y, you never stop worrying about your kid. So I've got news for you. Sorry, Catherine, yeah.
And yes, the friendship with Susan, Ian and Adam, who it seems have never spoken more than just in the shop, which I agree is very strange. I felt like they were all trying to uncover secrets like Rosemary and Thyme, with Ian and Susan giving this pitch in the bull. That could make a very strange Ambridge extra.
Catherine's surprised that Adam and Susan haven't had a proper conversation. Can we just deconstruct that? Would you really want to have a proper conversation ever with Adam?
Well, this is Adam Mark II. He's the new Adam.
Yes. So yes, up to now
he laughs and he has variety in his voice.
Now he does.
Yes.
But up to now you wouldn't, would you? Because you'd be moaned to death. But now he's all lightness of heart and with a joke and a gossip. And,
but maybe this is showing now he's broken free of Brian. He's his own man, and Lancer Boyd as well, that he's his own man and he can be happy and he doesn't need a high-powered job and money. That was my other question. How are they managing for money? Because there was all this moaning going on about how they didn't have enough money before, and that was when he was in a better paid job. So I just hope there's not going to be any more of this, oh, we need to find money from somewhere. Let's take it from this bank account.
I do find the new jolly Adam very discombobulating, I have to say. I mean, I thoroughly enjoy moaning about Adam and I'm just being denied this right.
Yeah, we've got Amy to moan about, so it's fine.
She was all right this week. She was all right. If they do go for the energy crisis... she's saying which families. I think she's right. Tracy might struggle, but the Grundys as well, of course, they'd find it hard going, wouldn't they? They're bound to be.
Well, and Tracy would have her budgeting notepad. Sorry? Tracy would have her budgeting notepad, so she would be keeping check on it. It would mean that they would have to skimp on other things. But I think that they would be okay, but only because of her very clever budgeting.
She'd be hovering around the thermostat, wouldn't she?
She would.
Keeping Jazz's fat fingers off it.
What is it with kids leaving lights on as well? Honestly.
Oh, God,
why does it always have to happen?
I thought it was a dad thing. I thought dads were obsessed about switching lights off.
No.
Most of them, mums aren't that bothered, but...
I am, because one child gets very upset about the future of the planet, but doesn't seem to mind about lights on, leaving the fridge door open while just gazing in a daydream at the contents of the fridge, honestly. Yeah.
They probably think they're eco bulbs and that they're justified in leaving them on.
Well, there we go. Catherine with a Y, you must call again. That was
please do.
Splendid. And now we go to Richard from Portugal, who has a copyright issue with Ian and Susan.
Hello, Richard calling in from Portugal this time. Months ago, I called in with my sister. We did the Swanee Whistle and Kazoo version of the theme tune. It seems like we were honouring Barry Cryer, which is great. The Stephen Fry episode was wonderful. I ran past a British pub while you were musing about how the Archers reminds us of Britain. This is a bit random, a few thoughts. I've been pondering career progression in Ambridge. I don't see why Phoebe is too good to be doing the rewilding. That's quite a challenging role. Is she remotely qualified to be doing business development just because she went to that university between Swindon and Milton Keynes? I'm not sure. I hope Trace's hairdressing takes off. Seems like the best career in Ambridge is to be a crook. Look at Brian and the illegal dumping, Jazza and the illegal bootlegging, Eddie with the unlicensed taxes and the counterfeit homemade homegrown turkeys, dodgy people in Ambridge. Anything else important to say about that? Not really. I think that Adam and Susan are stealing my idea. I run something called Newcomers Welcome Clubs dotted around the world, which, as the name suggests, are designed to welcome newcomers. And the activities we do involve, it's a bit like speed dating without the dating agenda. We get people talking to strangers, and after a certain amount of time, we move people on to the next person. Is very good for introverts, very good for shy people, because you don't have to pluck up the courage to approach strangers. And yes, we hand out cards with interesting questions from a seminal article called 36 Questions to Make You Fall in Love. And I will share links to that in the Facebook group and a few photos of the cards, which I won't post until Sunday, because otherwise no one will know what I'm on about. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Richard. 36 questions to make you fall in love.
Hmm, it's intriguing.
Do you listen to the Archers? I do. Bye.
Yes.
I don't think that was quite what he was meaning, but never mind. Oh, no, great.
Now, Richard last phoned in. I called in. He was in Warsaw, wasn't he? I seem to remember.
Well, and we've had Big Sister Helen call in as well in the meantime. Yes. So it's lovely to have them calling back.
Yeah. Wonderful. And now he's in Portugal.
Yes.
And jogging while listening to Stephen Fry abroad. Wonderful. That's I love that sort of thing, that sort of detail, and enjoying the point that he made about bringing you close to home. There are no new ideas, are there, Richard, or they're just nicked? I'm sorry about that. They've obviously been visiting your website. You're ahead of the curve, mate, so you've only got yourself to blame. But, if they all listen to this, Richard, so hopefully you'll be fed back to them.
Is Phoebe qualified to do business development? I mean, I don't know. The minute she said seaweed, I'm sorry, I did snigger to myself. That just sounded funny to me.
Well, if you've been to that university between Swindon and Milton Keynes... You can do anything, okay?
And this Highlands north of Glasgow. I mean, for those, for anyone who doesn't know the layout of Scotland, that's like saying Quebec is north of Orlando. You know, it's that sort of demographic. Apparently, the scriptwriter Kerry Davis had said that line was changed in the edit. So there we go. It was added in.
It got a lot of reaction on Twitter, as you'd expect.
We're going to be analysing seaweed. She's going to be standing on the shores of the Highlands looking for seaweed.
Twitter decided to be kind to Kerry. They said he wrote it deliberately because the assumption within Borsetshire is nobody knows it, the world beyond the bypass. So she was like spelling it out for somebody
so
else.
Even further than Glasgow. Yes. Can you believe it?
So, but it got the keyboards clattering, that one.
It did. And Millie Molly Mandy was right about Salil. She got it.
She hasn't been wrong yet. No. She hasn't been wrong yet.
So she needs to call back in. We need to pay strict attention to what she says.
Well, I said that last week. So Millie Molly Mandy, which is a book, apparently, I've been told by Catherine, is a book. I didn't realise.
You didn't know what?
No, sorry. Yeah. I'm an ignorant.
Millie Molly Mandy is one of the classics of my childhood. And I thought, oh, dear, right.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, I forgot. I didn't realise.
There we go. But thank you, Richard. That was wonderful. And we look forward to seeing your posts on the Facebook group later about that.
Yeah.
And now we need to go on to Glyn, who has spotted a flaw in the Bulls' winning entry.
Hello, Dumpty Dum. It's Glyn here. Well, after our self-contained week in Brookfield, we picked up the threads of some other stories last week in The Archers. My advice to Phoebe is you owe nothing to Kate. Get yourself off to Scotland immediately. And as someone has already pointed out on social media, that creates a rewilding job opportunity for Adam, and perhaps Phoebe will meet Charlie Thomas in Scotland, tell him about the rewilding, and he'll come back and run it with Adam and Rex. Sounds like a good team to me. Then in the Bull, in a village where certainly all the characters we hear not only know each other, but are also mainly related to each other one way or another, the Bull has decided that its Valentine's entertainment is going to be a game where people try and get to know each other. So it could be an evening for the silent characters, in which case it could be a very quiet evening for us all. It defies me, really. Anyway, going back to that self-contained week, I wonder if it was a sort of pandemic proxy, in that because the pandemic hasn't really happened in The Archers, some of the themes that have come out of the pandemic, like people reassessing where they are in their lives, hasn't really happened. But putting the, having the car crash enabled that story to be explored in Brookfield. Anyway, that's all from me. Thank you for the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Glyn. Sorry you got cut off at the end. That was a great call. Yes, I love this about the bull. It's going to be quite quiet because who's going to go to this if everyone knows each other and mainly related, I think. Yeah, that was brilliant. And
spot the tax professional. Yeah. In with his forensic eyes, seen the problem with this idea.
And will Adam take over the rewilding with Rex? I mean, poor Rex. I did laugh when Roy said, have you talked to him? He'll understand. Probably. I just thought, yeah, poor Rex. He's a bit down on his luck at the moment. And I think Jen is going to be spending Valentine's night running from the barn to her spare room wardrobe, bringing more clothes, because Brian mentioned it. He said, oh, well, you could bring some more clothes if you like. And I thought, how long has that spare room been occupied? It probably has permanently been occupied since they moved there, because first of all, they had Rory. Then Rory moved out when Alice came back in. Now Rory's gone off and Alice has gone off. It's the first time in that fairly small property that it's just them.
I heard the line and I didn't really think about it, but I'm glad you spotted it and spent ages contemplating the
thank you.
Domestic arrangements of Jenny Darling.
Well, I was worried that she's only been allowed, you know, one cardigan in her house so far and has been having to wear the same item of clothing ever since they moved there.
Unlikely. I love this idea of all the silence huddled together in the bull. Because that's going to make great radio, isn't it? We now have 13 minutes of silence in the bull.
And now for some meditation. We join the bull with the silent characters being silent. Yes, could
but
work.
Glyn's extended this idea of Adam taking over rewilding by doing it with Charlie.
Oh, I know.
Because he's in Scotland, right, isn't he? Charlie's in Scotland?
I believe so. Well, and if Glyn says he is, he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why does everybody go to Scotland if they get beyond the bypass? So, yeah, Charlie coming back. He was very popular, wasn't he, Charlie?
He was, yes. But do we want him coming back now Adam's all happy? We wanted Charlie to come back when Adam was so morose, but things are changing.
It might get him back into his familiar and comforting morose form, wouldn't it?
It would, yes.
Charlie came back. But we're going to get on to the scene, aren't we, with talking about secret crushes. So, because I loved that scene for a number of reasons. So,
okay, we'll save that one. But
we'll park it.
We have to play this next call because this is from Sarah. Listen to this, guys. This is Sarah, who made a name for herself last week on The Archers.
Hi, my name's Sarah. I wrote the scripts for the car crash cow hip scripts from last week. I've just spent a fun and frankly quite indulgent hour and a bit listening to your feedback. The good, the bad, and the ugly. My name, Sarah Heffer. It's like heifer without the F. The continuity announcers did a brilliant job, I thought, this week, because it's usually mangled by everyone, including my closest friend.
Was that wonderful to hear?
Wasn't it?
The scriptwriters are listening to this,
yeah.
Philippa, and listening to us get our name wrong as well. So I've written it down phonetically, Sarah. Sarah Heffer. It's heifer without the F.
You sound like you've got COVID when you say that question.
You've got to do it in an Irish accent, haven't you? So
I don't think you have to, no. I think you're going to cause a great deal of offence.
Isn't it? Heifer without the F, she said.
Yes, heifer.
That's it. I was overdoing it, wasn't I?
Well, it's not for me to say, but yes, you really were.
You're right. I was trying too hard. Sarah, lovely to hear from you. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. A fun and indulgent hour and a bit. Great.
Yes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I think we chucked in lots of good as well because it was a good week and it went down well as well, Sarah. So some memorable scenes. Imagine being told, right, you've got to write five episodes, isn't it? It's all in Brookfield. She must have thought, what? I can't escape from Brookfield. But it was a great week, Sarah. I really enjoyed last week, and many of our callers reflected that. So I think she's said that she's going to listen more in future.
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, well, let's listen to the next call because there's more from Sarah in a bit. So let's go straight on to Monty, who called last Sunday during the day and has an ear for detail.
Hello, Monty here. again, I've missed the deadline for this week, so I'm afraid I'm going to have to comment on last week's episode. But there was something in it that I thought was interesting. If you believe that they put the background music on specifically for reasons, i.e., they often have a song playing in the background and it means something. Well, I thought in the Brookfield episode, I noticed that when Beth and Ben were talking in their bedroom, in the background was playing Lana Del Rey's song, Bartender. And that song is about a young couple who elope, and the girl in it is quite clearly pregnant. So I did think that was interesting, especially since in Ambridge, no one seems to understand how contraception works, medical training or not. So I thought that might be an oblique reference to what may happen. So we'll see. I may be reading too much into it. Well, let's be honest, I'm reading too much into it. But it's the sort of thing that I like to think about when you hear the background music, because often they are putting something on for a specific reason. I think we've noticed this before. So we'll sure see, shan't we? Anyway, take care, everyone. Thanks very much. Bye.
Oh, Monty, that is a great call. Don't worry about it being sort of reverting to last week. That's not a problem. Just good to hear from you. Yes, and this analysis of the song, well, excellent. So I contacted Sarah after she'd left that wonderful message. I contacted her and said, she wrote the script. Did she know? I said, you know, can you say yes, no, or do you need to plead the fifth? We would understand if you did. Originally, she came back and said, no, I'm going to have to plead the fifth. I can't say. And then she came back. And this is what she said. Actually, I think it's okay to answer the question. I'm always on alert not to give anything away, but it doesn't actually reveal any plot to say the song wasn't chosen to foreshadow the future. My daughters love Lana Del Rey. My eldest is an avid fan of the Archers at 19, but I'm still trying to convince the other two. I thought Beth and Ben deserve some good dream pop to listen to after a tough week at Brookfield. So there we go, Monty. We've got the answer for you.
Yeah. And there was no hidden meaning.
No.
It's just because Sarah's kids like it.
And Sarah, can your daughter start listening to Dumpty Dum, please? And she can call in too.
19, she qualifies, doesn't she?
Yes.
And recruit them young. Fantastic.
So it's really interesting, though, to know the background. It never even occurred to me, being thick, that the script writers would choose the song. I just thought that would be added in at an extra layer later on. But no, there it is. And well, the reason why, it's lovely.
Lots of people do speculate about the songs and much discussion goes on about what it means. So have we all been wasting our time? They just choose something that sounds nice in the background.
Well, there might be meaning some of the times, but well, there was meaning this time, but on a much more personal basis for Sarah.
Yes. And as I said, very impressed that her daughter has been recruited. It's the whole succession theme is continuing, isn't it?
Yeah,
in real life. We are handing the mantle on to the next generation of Archer's listeners.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have some more of your calls in a moment, including a call by Kate and Catherine outside a pub, which should raise a chuckle or two.
They're
three.
Outrageous.
But if you're listening to this thinking, I'd like to record a message and I'm wondering how to do it, here's how.
Indeed, our claim to be the People's Podcast is entirely predicated on you, the people, our Dumpty Dummers, getting in touch and taking part. Now, whether you're a first-time, occasional, or even a very regular caller-innerer, we do love hearing from you. The best way for you to record a message or a plot prediction is to go straight to this link, speakpipe.com/dumptydum. Don't forget the T in the middle, it's Dumpty Dum. And you'll also find a link in the show notes to this podcast. I keep saying this every week, but it really is really easy. You can have as many goes as you like in the privacy of your own bedroom. So don't worry. Have a look at our pinned tweet on the Dumpty Dum Twitter account, because there you'll find all the details of how to leave us a message. Now, we record normally on the Sunday, but we record this week, in other words, the next podcast, on Saturday at 10 a.m. Once again, it's my fault. Please help and get your calls in by then. That's Saturday, 10 a.m. Do keep your call to a maximum of 2 minutes, and you've got to be at least 18 to take part.
Yeah, so another jolly for you next weekend then, Quentin.
Oh, my exhausting social calendar, yes.
And can I just say, people don't have to record onto SpeakerPipe in their bedroom, despite what you just said.
Anyway.
Other rooms are available.
Well, we're going to hear
strange.
I mean, people do it on the street. You'll hear in a minute.
Now, we need your help. There are three things you can do. First of all, if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button on your podcast app. And if you'd please consider giving us a 5-star review, well, it would be a huge help with the battle of the podcast algorithms. Secondly, if you can write a nice review, well, that helps even more. And we need to say a huge thank you. Thank you so much to Blink2105 for your wonderful review entitled Simply a Must Listen.
And also for Lely Lely for your lovely review called How Much Do I Love You, Dumpty Dum?
And to the Zulu Warrior for your review entitled A Great Archer's Extension.
And also to Magic Fod Og for your review called Lockdown Keeper.
And finally to Cherub60 for your review entitled Love It. Thank you so much, all
yes,
of
thank you.
Thank you
yes.
for taking the time to write those words. It really does mean a lot. And finally, the third thing is that you could consider becoming a Patreon. Patreon is a way of tipping creators, and there are different levels with different rewards. If you just go to patreon.com and search for Dumpty Dum, we would be chuffed to bits to have your support. And back to our calls. Next, we have Kate and Catherine, who've picked up from where Adam, Ian and Susan left off.
Hi, Dumpty Dum. It's Kate and Catherine. We're outside a pub. I've sent Quentin a picture of us looking like old soaks. Anyway, right, back to the issue. So there's me and Kate.
Hello there.
Right, so we're talking about the really funny episode with Susan and actually Adam sounding human and not android.
He did. He started from Secret Crush, but we moved it on to another level.
We've got to keep it really clean. No F words, because A, Philippa will complain. B, Apple podcast will complain. Right, so first one, not Russ.
No. Absolutely not Ross.
He'd be like the Sting of sex.
Absolutely. Sting, Mr. Tantric.
Right.
Justin. Justin would be masterful.
He's like at least 97.
And would, yes, but he'd take you for a lovely dinner.
Oh, he'd be really masterful and sexy. Right. But Brian, who I adore in most ways, the way he deals with his daughters, but...
No. Too straightforward and boring.
I don't think Jenny's had pleasure. While. Right, Jazza, we suggest we go through the thing on the website. Jazza, I fear he might smell of pork scratching slightly. He'd be a bit sweaty. I think there's been an episode where his personal hygiene wasn't up to much, but I can't remember.
Jacob.
I'm worried that he's a vet. You know, you might end up with a thermometer anywhere. It'd be terrible. But he's quite sexy, he's quite masterful, and I don't think he's adverse to a bit of discipline. Back into the OAP category, because that's all we've got to choose from. Oliver. I was typing, we were doing little notes as we had a drink, and I tried to type Oliver, and I tried to type Viagra, but it came up as Biafra, which is not really a happy news story. So Oliver, oh, he'd know how to show you a good time. Look, he's just lovely. He's everyone's favourite character on The Archers. But come on, Kate, now, I'm going to pin you down. Choose. Or die.
Justin.
Oh,
I can't believe I said that.
I'm going to go for Jakob, because the Scandinavian in me.
You like
literally.
You like thermometers.
And a bit of delousing. Okay. Oh, my life's terrible. One bottle of rosé, here where we are.
What are they like?
How strong was that bottle of rosé?
Brilliant. Couple of old soaks, as they describe themselves. My words. Well, we got a definitive answer in the end from both of them. Kate went for Justin, and Catherine went for Jakob, because she's got a lot of Scandinavian in her. And off and off. Kate did tell me afterwards she felt under pressure from Catherine to go for somebody without really thinking too carefully about it. So I think she rushed into Justin. But she did also tell me that she's a big fan of Upstairs, Downstairs in its heyday. So I think that's what might have informed a rush to select Justin, although I did suggest maybe he struggles with Downstairs these days. Anyway, it's not going to be Mr. Tantric Russ. Masterful came up a lot, didn't you? You notice that? They liked
well,
a
thermometer and delousing. I'm very
concerned. Oh, my
concerned.
God. Where's that? Where's that thermometer been or going? But he would show a bit of discipline as well, Jacob, which appealed to Catherine. And Oliver would show you a good time. Jenny hasn't enjoyed pleasure from Brian. He's too straightforward.
I am blushing.
I've never thought of Brian. You must. Your
you
cheeks
sent
must
me
be
a message,
burning.
Quentin, saying, prepare yourself.
That was brilliant. Oh, before I forget, they did send me a photograph of them staggering outside the pub, which I will put on our Facebook group a little later on for you to see and enjoy. So I need to, well, I mean, it's an obvious question I've got to ask you, Philippa. Who's your secret crush?
But it's not a secret. I keep saying it's Stella. I've got a girl crush on Stella. So
girl
crush?
Yeah. Okay. All right. What's your boy crush?
I don't have a boy crush. I can't. They're family to me. I can't. Please don't make me.
I'm giving you days to think about this. I want a boy crush by the end of the podcast.
Right, come on then. Who's your crush?
Well, if Siobhan was still around, definitely Siobhan. It would have been Siobhan.
There's a lot of paper hurrying that you're doing at the moment, Quentin.
I just realised throwing away my notes and I've got all my answers on here for this particular section.
Do you need to just find your notes?
I need to sit down. It would have been Siobhan. She was sexy, sexy, sexy. I can see why Brian was completely lost with Siobhan. Sorry.
It's outrageous.
Sorry. I've always thought Kate would be a fantastic romp in between the sheets. She would drive you nuts, but you'd have a good night, I'm telling you, with Kate. But long term sexy, I think Fallon. I think Fallon's pretty sexy.
I am worried about this in all sorts of ways. I'm worried about the thoughts that you've had going into this, the thoughts that you've had over.
I'm worried you haven't given it thought.
Well, I wanted to talk about the food because.
About who?
The food because.
Oh, I'm not
thinking...
talking about food. We're talking about Nookie here. Now, look. I'll help you. Lucy Appleby on Twitter at All's Well and Good. She said, so my secret Ambridge crushes are Ian and Adam, high scorers on the sexy voice stakes. Okay, whatever turns you on. And Bernadette, a lovely Bernadette, she says, I sometimes fancy Oliver Sterling. The qualification of sometimes. So there you are. We've had Kate and Catherine, Lucy, Bernadette and myself. Lay down the gauntlet. We need an answer, a boy crush from you by the end of this podcast.
Okay. Well, I just thought with this very strong bottle of rosé that Kate and Catherine clearly had, after a good night, they might need a good breakfast. And it seemed to be another cooked breakfast this week. So we had Leonard last week doing his black pudding and everything, and Jenny doing a cooked breakfast this week. And I was wondering, sort of whose crush there was on who, what would Jenny's cooked breakfast be? I thought it was probably Eggs Benedict.
This is not as interesting as crushes.
I'm trying to skim the edge like an ice rink. I'm on the edge of the ice crawling.
I'm a journalist. I keep at it, okay?
Right. So thanks, Kate and Catherine. It did make me chuckle. And now we need to go to Richard Beveridge, Biffo Prop, who's been singing for his supper.
Hello, everybody. Richard Beveridge here, Biffo Prop on the Twitters. Hope you're all well. Hope you're looking forward very much to the joy of six as the International Championship unfolds over the coming weeks. Enjoyed last week's podcast very much, especially Catherine's reference to the view of the Lickey Hills from Iris's conservatory. Among famous people associated with the Lickey Hills is St. John Henry Newman, England's most recently canonised saint. At the end of his life, he was buried in Rednal at the foot of the Lickey Hills, having served in Birmingham for most of his time as an oratory father. Apart from a brief interlude in Dublin, founding the National University of Ireland. He's a very great heroic saint in the Midlands, which means I think part of his patronage covers Borsetshire. He would also, as patron saint of converts, be very good for Harrison as he endeavours in his time towards being baptised. Some food for thought there. Also, on a more local note, I did sing at Mass in Lancaster Cathedral last week, Great is Thy Faithfulness, inspired by Jazza at the end of the Passion play at Christmas. I'm just after the Feast of Candlemas, so I can just about slip it in as the end of Christmastide. One of the congregation spoke to me afterwards and said, oh, I did like that. It was that thing from the Archers at Christmas. Splendid. Hope you're all doing well. And fond regards to all, especially Philippa's dad. Tinkety-tonk.
Oh, Richard, tinkety-tonk, love that. Yes, and best regards from my father to you. How interesting that people are listening to the song and Great Is Thy Faithfulness and remembering that it was on the Archers. I think that's lovely. Well, we talk about saints. What about Saint Christopher? I think it was Saint Christopher this week. Kerry writes Chris as a very calm, reasonable, mature man. I mean, I'm sure we were all Googling shingles just like Alice was, and Dr. Google was saying emotional stress is the trigger for it. But he can pass shingles on to anyone who's not had chickenpox. So I was thinking, well, who has he come into contact with? And I was worried about Brian. Has Brian had chickenpox? Because if Brian got shingles, he might not bounce back as quickly as Chris is likely to.
He's had most things, hasn't he, Brian?
Yeah, but has he had chickenpox? I'm worried about our Brian.
Yep, that was me being smutty.
I know, and that was me skating like I'm still on that ice rink, skating around.
Before I forget, Richard got in touch on Twitter to me saying wondering how Sarah's name was pronounced. So he'll be delighted to have heard from Sarah.
Yeah,
we'll be delighted to have heard Sarah's call in actually spelling out exactly how to say So
or
go,
sounding
Richard.
It out rather than spelling
sounding it out.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. you always learn something from Richard's calls.
Yes.
I mean, last time he phoned in about the mysteries, and now he's phoned in about St. John Henry Newman, England's most recently canonised saint. It did ring a bell because it is fairly recent, I think, but connection to Licky Hills, to the Archers.
Yes. Well,
everything is connected here. Everything, including who your boy crush is. So, so he'll be happy to have heard from Sarah's call about her pronunciation. He won't be so happy with yesterday's Six Nations result, which I'm sure you're completely familiar with, aren't you, Philippa? Scotland, England.
Is that rugby or is that football?
Yes, rugby.
Rugby. Oh, yeah. I am. Yeah. I was up all night watching it, and yeah. I'm very pleased/. Or horrified by how it went, whichever the result was it? So it was a bad result, you say?
Well, England lost, yes.
Oh, yes, that was terrible. I mean, I just thought they could have had it in the bag and they didn't, and it was such a shame.
Yeah. I think a bit of a mistaken substitution near the end.
I agree, absolutely. That substitution was the mistake of all mistakes. If you looked up the word substitution in the dictionary, there'd be a picture of that very event.
And that sin binning near the end, that really scuppered England as well.
Yeah, see, I don't even know. I think you're trying to trick me now. What is sin binning?
Of course I am.
you that's terrible of you. How dare you? Anyway, that was a wonderful call. Thank you so much, Richard. And now we must go on to Charles from Washington, who thinks there's a twinning opportunity with Wales.
Hello, everyone. Charles from Washington, D.C. calling in. I've been wondering what Natasha might name her twins. I hope she seeks inspiration in the Mabinogion, a collection of ancient Welsh folktales. Rhiannon would be a fine choice, but if Natasha wants to annoy Tony, she could choose names that he'd struggle to pronounce, such as Pwyll or Blodeuwedd. But the most appropriate name from the Mabinogion is Pryderi. He had a herd of magic pigs.
I'm glad Charles is pronouncing those names because I'm not even going to attempt it.
Well, exactly, because he normally writes those very funny scripts for us. And when he started talking about this in the Facebook group, I just said, please don't do this as a script for us because we will fail even more than normal.
So thank you, Charles.
Yes,
you spared
wonderful
us
to hear and him.
And yes, he's a true Brit, isn't he? Why was I putting on that ridiculous American accent when we read out one of his scripts? Has he got an American wife? Because now I can read his stuff out in a Brit accent. And if he's got an American wife, you're still going to have to make our monsters go through it.
Do you realise he hasn't sent another script in since we fluffed that so badly? So I think
mangled the last one.
Yeah.
No, I thought the last one was a triumph. clearly misplaced accents.
Triumph, yeah. Well, what about these names, though? I was thinking, you know, Welsh names, what instead of Aberdovey, Aberdont and Aberdo, something like that.
You've been thinking about this?
I have been thinking about it. And the other thing I've been thinking about...
I sense you've got more.
Well, no, I thought it was best to best leave it there. But the other mystery is, how can Ian and Susan say it's so quiet in the bull? And yet when Brian and Justin and Chris were in, it sounded like there were about 453 people.
Sorry, how have you jumped from Welsh folk names to
mysteries?
To that?
Mysteries. The mystery of the Welsh name, the mysteries. Sorry. It's just taking a word and it's just setting it loose, letting it run free.
Well, that'd be a good idea, wasn't it, to Nate, to use that name about after pigs, wasn't it? That would be funny.
Yeah.
That would be funny. But Charles, thank you. Erudite as ever. I never even knew about these Welsh folk tales, so I've learned something from your call. I've learned something from Richard's call. And we still don't know who Philippa's boy crush is.
And
anyway,
now
moving on.
We must go on to Tracy from California. As she may be a week behind, but she's channeling her inner Linda and playing Cupid.
Hello, this is Tracy from Oakland, California again. Okay, I have to say, I loved this week's episode. It was simple issues and light background noises and all the stuff that made me fall in love with the Archers in the first place. I had hoped that Ruth and David had hit one of Linda's llamas just so that I could hear Linda yell his name. And I imagine that she would be like, Constanza! I know that's terrible. I'm sorry. I also am glad that Josh and Pip took a break from bittering, as Ruth calls it. I felt like they sound like the spawn of like Baruch Assaults and Tweedledee and Tweedledum. They're like, I'm at the cottage now, and all this like whining. I'm like, honestly, y'all, I think the one thing that confused me was how Ben's already a nurse. I'm like, where did he get his nursing degree? Argos? Like, I don't understand this speedy nursing certification, but maybe I just don't understand how school works in the UK. Anyway, I'm also glad to hear all the successions, like Lily studying, you know, real estate management, and then Josh and Pip is like, oh, they can run the farm on their own. They do it, you know, made a great team. So I'm hearing people trying to like hand stuff off to the next generations. I also have a prediction. I think that Stella is going to end up being with Pip, and I think they would make a great couple. And then also I think Amy and Chris are going to get together. That's my magical prediction. So anyway, love the show still, both the Archers and Dumpty Dum, and I hope you have a lovely rest of your week. Bye.
Bye, Tracy. Thank you very much for that. Prediction, Stella with Pip. Oh, just...
You're going to have to fight her, aren't you?
That makes me uncomfortable. Amy with Chris. I could see that. I just hope.
She was a bit friendly, wasn't she, a few months back?
She was, but we haven't heard
in
that
Chris's
now.
Chris's bedroom.
I mean, the actress doesn't normally speak like that. And Amy didn't used to be like that. So she's been told deliberately to speak like someone who makes you want to fall asleep. I don't understand. I need Tracy to do Kate next, though, because why couldn't Kate go to Molotando's 21st? I don't understand. I don't understand how she can just leave her kids and not visit them. It's awful. And Kate is just impossible. Awful mother. But I do love her because you just know she's getting hold of the wrong stick. She's just winding people up. It's glorious.
Kate is never dull. She's absolutely maddening and infuriating, but she's never dull. Just like Tracy, she is never dull. She's every call is just a gem, isn't it, from Tracy? So keep them coming in. She's always a week behind. So this is highly complimentary of Sarah Hehe's scripts last week. So that's another feather in your cap, Sarah. I'm trying to place her accent because, Tracy, could you let us know? Because you live in Oakland, California, but it sounds like a southern drawl to me, doesn't it, to you? There's a bit of a southern twang in her deliveries and her phrases.
I haven't run my voice activation recognition systems today. So
I pay attention to these things. You just pay attention to the food in the
Arches.
Yeah,
if Tracy was talking about food, I'd be zooming in suddenly and analysing. Yeah.
But the great phrases. Argos nursing. What a brilliant phrase to describe this sort of speed nursing. I love that.
Yes, and on that, Tracy, it's not that he's concluded his qualification as a nurse. Yeah. It's just you get some practical times and then you have to do the writing and the learning time. So it's just part of his course that he is having some work experience during that and then will go back in the classroom. He has not been let loose alone on the public.
Except on his parents.
Yes, well, there we go. They deserve it. Anyway, Tracy, that was a great call. Thank
you. More, please, Tracy.
Yes. And now we must go to Bill from the Ukraine, who sees similarities with Hazel's recent incursion.
This is Bill Brown, Bill in Ukraine. Greetings, Quentin, Philippa, and Dumpty Dummers. Sorry to have been absent. I've been distracted by an obnoxious neighbor. He reminds me of Hazel, except he has tanks and rocket launchers. Like Hazel, he wants to reoccupy his old haunts. He thinks the whole place should belong to him. And he has a similar icky nostalgia for a past that didn't happen. But that's not why I'm calling in. I'm calling about red herrings. They've been mentioned a lot lately on social media. I've been thinking about them since the last Rob scare. So I created a special graphic, which I will have posted to the Dumpty Dum Facebook group as a convenience to members. Instead of tediously typing in another famous Archer's red herring, you can just post this image on Dumpty Dum social media only, please. Sorry if you've dealt with this issue previously. I know it's old news, but I can't get over how the young parents, or parents-to-be, were vying for a flat accessed by a steep outdoor stairway. No parent of an infant or toddler wants to deal with that hazard, especially with twins. Can you imagine daily navigating down those stairs? Twin infants, a double perambulator, a diaper bag, and all the accessories Natasha is bound to need. Which is a good question. What baby gear will Tom and Natasha get, and where are they going to keep it all? That's all the brain power I have for you today. I'll just say I'm very glad to have the Archers and Dumpty Dum for an escape from the reality right now. Thanks and goodbye, Dumpty Dummers. Дякую, і до побачення, Dumpty Dumniki, which is the same thing I just said in Ukrainian. Bye.
Oh, lovely to hear from you, Bill. I'm relieved to hear from you, actually, because I have been thinking about you stuck there in the Ukraine with everything that's going on. And it's lovely to know that our little podcast and our community is helping you through these difficult times. And, you know, you keep safe there, Bill. And I love this comparison with your obnoxious neighbour armed with tanks and rocket launchers to our Hazel, who effectively came in with similar weaponry, didn't you? Into Ambridge and wreaked havoc. She did make an incursion. Let's hope the fella next door, Russia, doesn't. Bill mentioned this red herrings graphic. It's splendid. I've seen it on our Facebook group.
Yes, it looks great. I think we can be using that quite a bit on the Facebook group.
As soon as there's a red herring klaxon, like I suppose the recent car crash, because we all thought, oh, that was, well, what's going to happen from this?
Well, I think in every episode you can be reading something in that is it a red herring or not? That's the question with everything.
So this red herring graphic, I think, will be used in a number of posts, and it could almost become as ubiquitous as the Wordle graphic that we keep seeing in our time. But I'd much prefer your red herring, Bill, to that damn Wordle thing. He's still obsessing about those steep stairs in the flat. I'd forgotten about those. Were they a red herring? But it's not going to be an issue, certainly with Natasha and the twins, but Chris is there, isn't he, with Martha.
Yes. Let's hope nothing happens, but especially when Martha wants to walk, having to go up all those stairs and then Chris having to carry the pram and the this and the that. And Chris has taken the television and Alice doesn't have a TV. I mean, I'm sorry. When Brian was saying, should I go round and get the TV back? No, just get her another TV. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Do you feel better now?
Yes, I do. But Bill, we are so worried about you. Please keep safe. And if it's possible to keep calling in, please do so, because it's good to hear from you and to know that you're all right.
Yeah, and I'd like, if you wouldn't mind, Bill, in your next message within your 2 minutes, just to give us a bit of a thumbnail sketch of what it's like there at the moment. That'd be very interesting.
But Bill, thank you so much for your call. And now we go to Witherspoon, who thinks all our moaning may have paid off.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Philippa, Quentin, and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. I thoroughly enjoyed this week in Ambridge, one filled with much gossip. You'd think that Uncle Kerry was putting a mirror up to us chattering Dumpty Dummers. I also thought the week subtly touched upon the economics of a pandemic world. Began with Brian and Justin talking about Adam, who's one example of the great resignation. Adam gave up his job for lifestyle reasons, and he definitely seems happier, and his little family appears less stressed. Maybe Uncle Kerry and the other scriptwriters change course in response to our unending moaning about Adam's moaning. Phoebe may be another example of the great resignation, as she has the opportunity to seek greener pastures if she's brave enough to escape her selfish and hypocritical mother's clutches. We also heard hints of more economic impact from the pandemic when Brian and Justin shared concerns about Barrow Farm. I think Barrow is going to have some hard times ahead, and the two men's contrasting approaches will lead these frenemies to butt some serious head. Speaking of COVID, Chris had some significant medical complaints this week and didn't think to take a COVID test. Because of the protective force field surrounding Ambridge, Chris didn't come down with COVID, but with an illness that's very, very rare in the 30-something age group. Did he actually go see a doctor and follow up as Amy recommended? Knowing him as we do, he probably didn't. And I especially didn't like his continuing paternalistic attitude toward Alice. But this week, Winter Olympic medals go to Susan, Jennifer, Alice, and yes, even Brian for their excellent parenting, and to Amy for her friendship and diagnostic acumen. Talk to you soon.
Ah, oh, brilliant call, Witherspoon. Thank you. Yes, all these medals going for parenting. I think Roy deserves one as well.
Yes,
I thought Brian did well. Alice eventually. Jennifer was so good being firm, because the Jennifer of old would have said, oh, yes, I'll take Martha from you. And that wouldn't have helped Alice or Martha. So that was really good to see and to hear. But there was no Calpol offered for poor Martha. When Amy was dispensing, I mean, she sounds like a counsellor, not a friend to Alice, and that's what she needs at the moment.
She got a medal from Witherspoon.
Yeah, but she didn't. She went through the list of what you should do for a child with chickenpox, but there was no mention of any paracetamol, any Calpol. I thought, crikey, that's the first thing I'd be wielding.
Yeah, but that'd be advertising, wouldn't it?
Well, or even if they just said paracetamol, but then I thought, is legally, can they say that? Because then people could give too much paracetamol and blame it on the archers. I don't know what the rules and regulations are, but yes, has Chris got COVID? He's not even taken a test. Yeah, just as Witherspoon says, that's the magic of Ambridge.
And he reckons Kerry Davis has responded to all our moaning about Adam, and now we're getting cheerful, Adam, which I'm struggling with, as I said before. But I thought the standout scene this week was when they got tipsy, Ian, Adam and Susan. I thought that was really, really well done.
I enjoyed it, but some people didn't. It just shows with the archers. You can't please everyone.
It was so well acted, particularly from Charlotte Martin playing Susan. Brilliant, brilliant. You were in the room. You could sense her slight tipsiness and her nervousness when she first arrived, Ian's reticence, and then they all warmed up, and then connections were made about the food and the layout of the kitchen, and then the wine flow. They got much more relaxed. They started gossiping. It was really well written as well by Kerry Davis. I really enjoyed that. So top marks for that.
And top marks for that call, Witherspoon. That was wonderful. So those are the calls, but you can also send us an email if you'd prefer.
Yes, if you'd rather send an email, visit the dumptydum.com website and click the Contact Us tab at the top of the page. It's Dumpty Dum, got a T in the middle. Do get your calls and emails in by 10 a.m. this Saturday.
Yes, honestly. Yeah. 10 a.m.
Normally Sunday, 10 a.m. Saturday.
Sorry, everyone, on Quentin's behalf.
And as ever, remember, you need to be 18 or over to submit any views or comments.
Are you having to go back to work to pay for the serum that you bought? And that's why you're having to get up so early. Anyway, sorry. And so we go from our caller innerers to our email innerer.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We have a message from Adam Hickford.
Hello, you two. So this week we've moved from one dysfunctional family to another. I think every man and his dog predicted that Phoebe was going for a job, but Kate's combination of thick skin shallowness is spectacular. It's very revealing of her modus operandi that finding an Oxford-educated man is more important to both Kate and Jenny than Phoebe making the most of her own Oxford education. Roy, on the other hand, was lovely. Can we have more nice, supportive parenting where people listen to each other, please? Bye for now. Yay, Adam. Roy's right up there, my dull but decent brigade. He's lovely. Phoebe was she was less feeble. Well, she did break down. I'm contradicting myself here. But
well, one minute she broke down, and then the next nanosecond, she was absolutely fine. There was no transition.
I'm confusing myself. But what I'm trying to say is she opened up to him far more than she ever would with
Kate. He's lovely and supportive and encouraging. And once he was a bit shocked about it being north of Glasgow, but then he realised that there are such things as trains and aeroplanes. So he thought, no, I can go and see her.
Do you get a sense that people within Ambridge feel that Phoebe has squandered her Oxford education? There's a lot of feeling about it outside amongst us. But it's never really mentioned, is it?
No, but I think that's one of the problems with Ambridge, that there aren't many jobs to choose from. There doesn't seem to be a lot of accommodation to choose from for some bizarre reason. And that a lot of women are not having great careers and reaping the benefits of the hard work of their university education.
Although it's been shaken up a bit, isn't it? Alice wants to get back to engineering and Lily wants to go and do some
yes, and maybe that's the start of it. I have to admit I'm a little sceptical, but I hope it is. It would be wonderful to see. But yes, Adam, great email. Thank you so much. Look forward to the next one. So thank you for your calls and emails. We love them. Do keep calling and emailing in. Now on to Dumdy Book Dum. As most of you know, I host the Quick Book Reviews podcast, and I was talking to Ellie Griffiths, whose latest in the hugely popular Ruth Galloway series is called The Locked Room and is out now. So Ellie Griffiths, your latest book is The Locked Room. Thank you for joining us on Dumdy Book Dum.
I'm delighted to be here.
We need to talk about The Archers, Ellie. We really do. Let's set the boundaries. I know you and I have discussed this before, but who is your favourite Archers character, would you say?
My favourite Archers character, it might be a little, I don't know whether this is a little bit out, the name is Kate. I really like Kate.
Still.
I mean, I think it's because whenever I hear her very distinctive Kate-type voice, I always know something's coming up. She's going to wind somebody up. Somebody's going to be annoyed with her. So I really do like Kate.
And you mentioned the Archers in your book. What is driving you batty in the Archers?
I said Ruth is a big Archers fan. She's a big Radio 4 fan, as I am. So, yes. So she's quite often listening to the Archers. Oh, what's driving me batty? Well, the same sort of characters do kind of drive me batty all the time, really. So, it's David with his sighing and his, perpetual fed upness and really the Archers themselves as a family are pretty annoying, aren't they? I think Pat I like as a character because she's very strong, but she's being a little bit irritating at the moment. And Tom with his, I still kind of mourn for old Tom with this particular whiny voice that he used to have. So Tom and Natasha, and they're all being a little bit irritating, but that's part of listening to the Archers, isn't it, really? I mean, they're not many characters that I love. I say I like Kate and I've always liked Brian, but do I actually like them, or do I just like the fact that they they wind everyone up.
Yeah, I know, that's quite joyful to hear sometimes. Do you think Rob will come back?
Oh, well, there's lots of sort of foreshadowing that he might, isn't there? So if I was writing it, would I make him come back? Do you know, I probably would, so maybe he will.
And final question, Hilda, is Hilda good or bad?
Oh, definitely always on the side of the cat. So I think Hilda is good. I mean, Peggy, I have to say, wonderful actress and wonderful portrayal, but is thoroughly irritating, I always think. But I do kind of love Kate. And I suppose if I were to have Kate, Peggy and Hilda in a scene, that would be my perfect Archer scene, really.
And Brian popping in.
Oh, and Brian popping in. Oh, what's going on here? Oh, yes, lovely. Perfect.
Well, before we go, you must just tell us about your latest book, The Locked Room. Can you summarise it for us?
So The Locked Room is book 14 in the Dr. Ruth Galloway series, once described by some paper as the Archers with added body count. Set in Norfolk, and this book is when Ruth is in her isolated cottage during lockdown and there's a murderer on the loose.
Fantastic. Ellie Griffiths, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A Kate fan.
Yes, because she said that to me, I don't know, about 12 months ago, and I thought she might have changed her mind by now. But
she's right. As I said, way back in this podcast, yeah, Kate's always fun. Maddening, but fun.
Yeah, and we do need a bit of that from time to time. And now to Facebook. We've just broken through the 2,000 members mark. Amazing. Turbo boosted by 35 new recruits this week. So we need to say an how-do to you too.
David, Emily, Bridget and Catherine.
Mike, Paul, Julia and Helena.
Angel, Andrew, Carol and Deborah.
Maria, John, Kath and Suzanne.
Annette, Kathy, Paul and Deressa.
Maureen, Kenny, Helen and Dave.
Elizabeth, Carmel, Jane and Catriona.
Louise, Neil, Fee and Ian.
And Pam, Steve and Sarah.
So what has our Dum-de-dum group been talking about this week? Let's find out as we sit back for the roundup of the goings-on in the Dum-de-dum Facebook group with our Sue.
Hello, my lovers. Sue here, Queen or Tart on the Twitters, and the first February social media roundup. What a brilliant Kerry Davis script writing week on The Archers. We laughed, we cried, we winced, and some of us at least wanted to write things on Facebook that would have got us a warning and probably some time in Facebook jail. Oh, Kate, you raging hypocrite. Maya Fox sums it all up with her post. Sublime writing tonight, KD, OBS. Loving Adam's burgeoning personality. It was delightful to see so many new people joining us on Facebook this time, or whatever it's called this week. 35 new people. We are definitely going up. There was a lot of concern over young Martha and who should be looking after her. Pat Roberts said, I hope Amy will stay as Alice will not cope. Leah Toff said, oh, Alice, lovely little sing-song there brought a tear to the eye. And William Nolan said, I love that episode. Jenny and Alice's scene where Jenny was reassuring Alice but insisting she wouldn't just take Martha was honestly really moving. Excellent writing and acting, in my opinion. Good bit of enforced parenting then, unlike Kate, who, as often happens, I wanted to inflict physical violence upon. Witherspoon asked, will Phoebe be the victim of unfounded family gossip? And Kevin Winter replied, Kate is insensitive enough to do it. I wonder why the others take her seriously. I always wonder that, whatever she says. Jo Edwards says she's just vile and ridiculous. I'm pretty sure she's talking about Kate. And Monica Postle said, I don't exactly see how upset Kate will be at the prospect of Phoebe moving to Scotland, but given her own track record, she would be a real hypocrite if she pressurised her not to go. You see, hypocrite is a word that comes up all the time for Kate. But leaving her behind, Stephen Bowden asked us in the most popular thread of the week about our secret crushes. Pete Bradford and I can agree on Jill. All that cake. And Julie Taylor said, if I was 30 years younger, it would be Harrison for sure. However, I'll happily settle for the rascally Brian. I think a lot of my generation would happily settle for the rascally Brian. After all, he's been on Just a Minute at least twice, as Annie Moser pointed out. The actor is such a smoothie and dons a cravat marvellously as too. You're talking my language now, Annie. Shirley Farrant Ansley said, Tim Bentick, ever since I saw him in the Cavaliers and Roundheads TV drama By the Sword Divided in the 1970s. There were quite a few, like Darcy and Amanda Wright, going for David, even with all the sighing. Perhaps it was the uniform. Plenty of people going for Harrison, his Bobby uniform. There's a lot in that thread. If you haven't been in there, go and have a look. Oh, there were some bits in there that made me really chortle. We either love the gossipy dinner or we really didn't. And mostly we really didn't. Melly Merriweather said, this episode has me cringing. Kate Lyle said, because gay men are such giggly gossips, with a couple of angry emoticons. And Monica Postle said, it seemed to be somewhat stereotyping again. These last two shows with Adam's scenes just didn't sit well. Made him so, so phony, not to mention a little creepy. But we did laugh as well. I'm going to round off with a post from Dave Alcock, who put up a lovely picture of some Lego bonsai for Jill and Leonard. Being plastic, it will last longer than them. I'll see you all in a month. Cheers, my dears.
Thank you, Sue. And to everyone who's posted their thoughts on the Dum De Dum Facebook group, you would be very welcome to join us there if you haven't done so already.
We're also on Twitter under @DumptyDum. Our team always includes the Archers, it's one word, hashtag using a capital T and A. That's so the visually impaired can enjoy any Archers-based tweets. Also, try and include @DumptyDum in your tweet. It means more people get to see it, which helps to keep our community growing still further.
As well as @DumptyDum, we're both on Twitter. I can be found at QuickBook Review with a 3 instead of a W.
And I'm @13MinuteMan. That's 13MinuteMan.
Hello, it's Fry here. No, not that one. And now, on Dumpty Dum, it's time for Tweet of the Week.
It is. And the bronze is a joint bronze. It was a dead heat for this because they combined to make it a bronze-winning entry. And it was teed up by Matt at @Matt_Mark2. And then Little Kim at Little Kim responded. So a joint bronze. Matt said, the Highlands, north of Borsetshire, to which Little Kim Little replied, Visit Scotland need to adopt that for their new ad campaign. The Highlands, north of Borsetshire. So that wins you a bronze.
Very good.
In silver, Steve Brooks at Steve Brooks TA, and he says, if jumping to conclusions was an Olympic event, Kate would win silver. Just behind Susan.
Yes.
So that silver reference, Steve, wins you silver. But in goal position, I like a bit of wordplay. This came in from the Archers Leica @the_Leica. Burdock, he's a dandy, a real lion of a man. Burdock, a dandy and lion. I'll get me coat. So, love that, the Archers like, and that wins you gold. So congratulations to our Tweeters of the Week.
Yes, congratulations. And it just goes to show, if you mention the word gold, silver or bronze in your tweet, you're likely to get that medal. So yes. Now we know what to do. The secret's out. Well, we need to start winding down. So we must say thank you to formerly cycling Christine, Catherine with the Y, Richard from Portugal, Glyn, Sarah, Monty, Kate and Catherine, Richard Biffo Prop, Charles from Washington, Tracy from California, Bill from the Ukraine, Witherspoon, Adam and author Ellie Griffiths for all their contributions, as well as Melissa from Italy for her Dumpty Dum tune.
Yeah, I've got one more medal to give out, actually. It's the medal for your boy crush. Come on, you've got to give an answer. You know,
my family. I'm not having a crush on my family, thank you very much. So, no.
God. Seriously, you're not going to give an answer?
I'm not. I can't. It's honestly, they are. I love and detest them all equally as if they were my family. So it would be entirely wrong. I can't.
Cop out. Thanks also to our social media supremos, Shambridge for her voices, and to our podcasting parents, Lucy B. Freeman and Roy Phil Brown.
So what will be revealed next week? Will Rory give up chasing Bitcoin and invest in seaweed research instead? Will Kate meet up again with her friend Burdock and invite Dandelion, Lemonade and Ginger Ale along as well? Will Clary have another mysterious appointment and get us all even more worried about the state of her health? And will David suddenly get to see a physio next week instead of waiting the usual 3 years like the rest of us? After all, Ambridge is a magical place. All will be revealed next week, but for now, it's a thank you for listening and a bye-bye from me.
And I'm off to enjoy my free mini massage. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.